If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 10. We're going to pick up in verse number 11, or you can read off of the screen. Jesus here speaking says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Then skip down to verse number 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." During this time of running to downtown to see Celie at Children's Hospital, and then on the way stopping back at Missouri Baptist Hospital to see Francois, and then driving over to St. Luke's Hospital to see Nick and Katie, there is a song called The Shepherd's Song. The Shepherd Knows Your Name. And this song was one that just went on repeat for me. And my sweet future daughter-in-law is going to sing this. This is the first time I had heard it when she sang it. But it just has ministered much to me. And just praying over Katie and Noah, and praying over Celie, and praying over Francois, and thinking, the shepherd knows their name. He knows what's going on in their life.
Through today, he knows your name.
No matter what we're facing in our life, we as believers are sheep and he is the shepherd. Now, the picture of him as shepherd is an awesome and wonderful picture. The picture of us as sheep, well, it shows that we can be very vulnerable and defenseless and helpless. That we are dependent upon one who is far greater than us. Jesus in John 10 is picking up on the theme of God the Father showing himself as the shepherd in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As Jesus picks up on this theme, I think there are three great and wonderful truths that he would drive home to us today as we think about where we are in our life. And we find that ultimately, as Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, that the good shepherd knows us personally, that the good shepherd knows us. He knows our name and he knows what's going on in our life. He knows everything about us. Now, it happened again this last week. I have a bank that has my money, but I go to that bank and I bring a check that says Buddy. And you all know there's no one in the world whose real name is Buddy. So my name is Gene. And so when I bring the check that says Buddy and I put my driver's license in the drive-thru window with my check, the guy says, "All right, Gene, who's Buddy?" And it's like, well, I am Buddy. That is my name. There was one time Pastor Jerry and I had someone who was really in a very vulnerable time and threatening suicide, and we had took him to get committed into a hospital, and I went up, said, "I'm Pastor Buddy," and Jerry went in and said, "He's Pastor Jerry," and then they asked for our IDs. Well, my name is Gene, and his name is Melvin, and so they looked at us. They looked at us like, "Who are you guys?" Can I tell you today, when we look at the Good Shepherd, he knows us personally. He knows us. Jesus knows his sheep. It says in verse number 14, "I am the Good Shepherd." Or it says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and my own know me." Jesus knows his sheep. But we not only find that Jesus knows his sheep, but we find that Jesus also leads his sheep. In verse number 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." In verses 3 and through 5 of chapter 10, it gives the picture of the shepherd. He gets out in front and he leads us. He leads us. He is the one who is guiding and directing and moving. And there are some times when we walk through that proverbial Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. But this is what we know. We know that the shepherd always goes before. Do you understand the truth of God's presence? That God's presence is not just something out there, but God's presence for us as believers is something that we can ultimately know by faith and experience. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 8, it says, "The Lord, He is the one who goes before you." The Lord goes before us before we ever take a step, before we ever have that next breath. I can anticipate all of those moments of struggle and challenge of loved ones that are hurting, whether we've shared the stories today or ones that you have gone through. And now the Lord has brought you through and you recognize, man, the Lord has gone before. He leads us. But not only does He lead us and go in front of us, but He's also behind us. Isaiah 30, 21 says, "And your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." He also hems us around. Psalm 139 and verse number 5 says that He has us before and behind, but it gives the picture that He hems us all the way around. He is above us. We recognize that He is our Father in heaven, and we recognize that Jesus has ascended to the throne of heaven, and He is ever making intercession for us. He is above us, but He is below us because Deuteronomy 33, 27 says that underneath us are the everlasting arms. But as good as it is to have God before you and behind you and above you and below you, what we ultimately know as believers in 2 Corinthians 6:16 is that the Lord is in us. He dwells with us. He says, "And I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Can I tell you today? You have a Lord who leads you. You never have to take that next step or face that next fear alone. He is with you. But not only does He know us and lead us, but He also protects us. It gives the picture in John chapter 10 that there is a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says in verse number 11, "I'm the good shepherd," and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then He contrasts that with the hireling in verse number 12 and following, where He says, "There are some that when threat comes, a wolf, they run and they flee, but not the Lord." He gives the picture that He protects, which leads us to our second thought of why He protects. Because the good shepherd not only knows us, but the good shepherd sacrificially loves us. The good shepherd sacrificially loves us. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." How does Jesus show His love to us? Ultimately, the greatest demonstration of His love is that He lays His life down. It says in verse number 11 that "I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep." But then it says down in verse number 17 and 18, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own." What is Jesus talking about? He's talking not only about our enemy, but our greatest problem. Our greatest problem that any of us experience is the problem of sin. The Bible tells us that sin can be anything that we think or say or do that displeases God, or sin can be not doing the good things that God tells us to do. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned. And from the very beginning in the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, with the sin of Adam and Eve, the Lord gave a promise that He was going to send one who would be born of the woman who would ultimately bring great defeat on the enemy, the serpent, the tempter, the devil. Isaiah would say in Isaiah 53, 5, that He would be wounded for our transgressions. That's a word for sins. That He would be bruised for our iniquities. Another word for sin. That the chastisement for our peace would be upon Him, and by His stripes we would be healed. Because He says in Isaiah 53, 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way." We've all done our own thing. We've all rebelled. We've all missed God's perfect mark. And then He says this, "But God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all." Why did Jesus lay down His life? Well, let's look back at His birth. Just before He was born, the angel comes to Joseph and says in Matthew 1:21, "His name shall be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." Jesus, when He was here on earth and celebrated the his coming to get baptized by John the Baptist to inaugurate his ministry, John the Baptist would point and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," in John 1:29. That Jesus himself in Matthew 9 would offer forgiveness of sins to a lame man. And that Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 28, would say that when you take this cup is a picture of my blood, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. So that Jesus would say, "I'm laying down my life because of your sins. You're disqualified from a perfect heaven with a perfect God because of all the things that you've done wrong. But Jesus says, I'm taking your punishment. I'm laying down my life to take the punishment for your sin." 1 Corinthians 15 makes it very clear in verse number 3. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Jesus didn't just die as a good example. Jesus didn't die just because of love. Jesus died to take the punishment for our sins. But the great word here is in verses 17 and 18, it says that Jesus not only laid down his life, but he says that he takes it up again. So Jesus lays down his life, but he takes up his life. In verse number 17, he says, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it." He loves us. He takes up his life. It's interesting as we look at scripture and we think about the resurrection, we think about celebration of Resurrection Day or Easter, that each person of the Trinity is pictured as having part in the resurrection of Christ. You know the verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God raised him from the dead. Who raised Jesus from the dead? John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Jesus takes up his own life. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11, it tells us that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all involved in this resurrection power and resurrection experience. And in Romans 8, it says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That's the Spirit that lives in us. He lays down his life. He takes up his life. But then he gives us life. In John 10:10. It tells us the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life abundantly. That gives the picture of living in a relationship with Jesus here on earth. That we have purpose and that we have direction and that we have security in him. That we can walk through the hard times, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. We're in a living relationship with him. But then in John chapter 10 and verse number 28, it says, "I give to them eternal life." We not only have abundant life, a living relationship with Jesus, but we have a living, lasting relationship with Jesus. It's going to last forever and ever and ever, which brings us to our third thought. The Good Shepherd not only knows us and not only loves us, but the Good Shepherd secures us. The Good Shepherd secures us eternally. As we think about what Jesus says in verses 10, 27 through 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." How do we know we have eternal life? We know that we can have security in life and for all eternity because of Jesus' words. We have security in life and all eternity because of Jesus' words. He says this, "I give unto them eternal life." Jesus' words. As we think about Jesus' words, "I give them eternal life," we find that this is a promise from him. But not only do we see that Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life," then he adds the negative, "and they're never going to perish." The promise is stated in the positive. You're going to have eternal life. And it highlights the negative. You're never going to perish. But then he says, "Ultimately, I hold you in my hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them or pluck them out of my hand." We're saved for eternity because of Jesus' words, but because of Jesus' hand. Jesus says, I have you in my hand. We are celebrating today those in Jesus' hand who he has touched and impacted and secured and saved here on earth for a longer period of time. We don't know how long that will be. But ultimately, what we know is this. Our life and citizenship is not here on earth. We are not citizens of earth who are going to one day go to heaven. As believers, Philippians 3:20 reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven and we are just passing through earth. This is not home. I understand. For all of us, there is the longing for us to be here and to share in the fellowship, but know that there is coming something far greater than this. We're in his hand. Several months back, it's been a couple of years now, one of our beloved members, Jerry Dawkins, I was visiting with him. He was very near death. And Jerry always had a great sense of humor and always loved to call me Dr. Buddy. I think it's because those two words just don't seem like they should go together. But Dr. Buddy, he said, as he was nearing death, he said, Dr. Buddy, I have one foot in heaven and one on a banana peel. And this is what I said, and I just thank the Lord for the truth of this verse. I said, Jerry, right now, it doesn't make any difference where your feet are. What really matters is whose hand you're in. And can I tell you today, we're in his hand. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Then he says, not only my hand, but because of Jesus' Father's hand. And my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to pluck them out of his hand. It's as if we're in the hand of Jesus and the hand of the Father comes over that. And he says, that's a bond no one can break. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus. And we celebrate what he has done as shepherd in leading Nick and Katie and baby Noah and the Dormeyer family and Francois through this life. And he has more for them. We know that. And I will just tell you, if you still have a pulse, the Lord still has a plan for your life as well. So I pray that through this, that you would be encouraged, that we have a God-answering Savior, that we have a shepherd who goes before us, who holds us, who is in us. And because of that, we can find great hope. And today we celebrate in part what he has done for us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we partake of the Lord's Supper to remember what Jesus has done. We remember that the bread pictures his body, and the juice pictures his blood that was shed for us. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Jesus suffered that so that we could ultimately be saved. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us, as we come to prepare for the Lord's Supper, examine your heart. Make sure you're in a spiritually healthy place. Make sure you are walking with Jesus and that you know him. And if we're celebrating someone that we know today, the Lord Jesus, in our life. But as Paul takes those words and says, before you partake of the Lord's Supper, let someone examine himself. I just pray that we can take just a moment, and the band's going to come back up as I pray, to reflect on Jesus, our good shepherd, who knows us, who loves us, who secures us, and we can celebrate Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I ask that you would take this time as we prepare for the Lord's Supper together, as we take time to pray, as we take time to seek our own heart. Lord, I pray that we would be prepared for what you would have us to experience in the fellowship that we're able to share because of Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.